welcome to our Good Place podcast that is run by Good Place Innovators, a team of researchers, educators and student fellows passionate about transforming communities with an extra sensitive eye for our place, local context and true community needs. Our project focuses on the notion of entrepreneurial embeddedness, the emotional connection to our places and co-creation of value with our communities. My name is Radka Newton and I'm a Senior Teaching Fellow in Strategy and Innovation at Lancaster University Management School. I'm also an Education Service Designer and a lead of Good Place Innovators project funded by the Enterprise Educators UK. In this podcast, we have debated about the importance of place, commitment of our business leaders to make places good and livable in connection with the communities, co-creating pride and rejuvenating sometimes deprived and forgotten places. Today, we welcome our local entrepreneur and an innovator, Andrea Winders, who brings a new perspective to our debate. Andrea is a real shaker and mover, and her passion for connecting people, places and products is really remarkable. Andrea's diverse background, from managing her own businesses to becoming an executive director of enterprise investment in Sunderland City Council, is fairly intriguing. Andrea, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Radka.
Welcome here. And Andrea, if you don't mind, I will just start with your own quote to understand where your motivation comes from. So you say, "I'm taking on the challenge of tired cities, towns and high streets and changing the look, feel, residents, value and futures. Retail is not the answer. Investment, design and development will change outcomes." Well, what a quote. So this tells me, Andrea, you are a woman on a mission.
I am absolutely on a mission. Sometimes I speak a different language to everybody else, because this actually started and came from my time in local government. As you quite rightly say, I've been an entrepreneur all my life. And then I worked for 2 years as an executive director in local government and realised, actually, everybody turns to the local authority to solve places when they're failing or when life isn't too great. And local authorities haven't got the money or the time or the resources any longer to make much of a change. And sometimes when they do, they build something and build it and they will come. So I'm passionate about taking a different approach to failing places, businesses, towns, high street, whatever it is. And I've created a system that I call magnetism. I'll not go into it today for the sake of the podcast, but if at a later date anybody wants to get in touch with me about magnetism, but it's all centred around changing the attractiveness of the thing, the place, the high street. And I said to the high street, retail isn't always the answer, because it isn't. We have to make everything that we do people-centric, because it's people that make changes, not buildings. Yeah. We have to respect our place and respect our history and look to our future, but centre everything that we do about people and then connect them to products and then connect them to place. And if we start to have a different approach to life, and my approach is that we use commerciality and sustainability to make those changes, we'll have a difference. If we keep doing the same old, we'll get the same old results.
Well, let's see how this magnetism works today, Andrea. And it's probably maybe like an opposite of this stigmatism that maybe we'll talk about a bit later. And when we last spoke together, you mentioned that you deliberately placed yourself in one of the most sort of deprived cities in the UK, in Whitehaven, which is actually a very dear place to me personally. And I guess placing yourself in the middle of this need makes sense.
It absolutely makes sense. I chose Whitehaven. I do remind them this sometimes, I chose you. I looked around the country and I wanted to find somewhere that I considered to be stuck. There was a paper written as a result of the industrial strategy, which looked at a place as either stuck, stifled or strategic. And it was a balanced scorecard approach. So it was very scientific. And Whitehaven was on the list of stuck, ooh, or wow, if you like, left behind places. And what the reason why I chose Whitehaven was it was a great snapshot of the country. So it's coastal, rural, urban, isolated, but also mimics a city miniature, which I know we'll come on to discuss in a wee while. But it's not got total deprivation. It's got pockets of deprivation and pockets of wealth. And that really interested me, how you can have somebody living next door to a neighbour who has brand new car on the drive, works at Sellafield because that's the local largest employer. And I was interested in giving everybody a life chance and understanding how we can use the power of magnetism and approach the problems in a different way.
And that's really interesting, because we discussed this with Andrew Walker here in our earlier episodes, that
places are not homogenous. And it's the same for Lancaster, actually, that we have, you know, places of wealth as well as, you know, so you can have neighbours who are in the same position. But Whitehaven is quite specific, like you said, and I always feel it's so cut off, you know, that the transport doesn't flow there. And that sort of the stigmatisation. So I wonder, you know, with these deprived places, is sort of stigma associated with these places? And, you know, to what extent does it prevent that sort of attracting the investment and the flourishing of the places?
I think there definitely is stigma. So I can hark back and do a comparison to Sunderland as well. So Sunderland had an area that was a former shipyard or shipbuilding or shipworkers. And that had an area that was considered deprived. And that was called Hendon. And it was definitely, people who lived in Hendon were on occasion stigmatised for living there. It was grossly unfair because it was a fabulous place. And it struggled to attract investment. So if I now transfer that over to Whitehaven, and we've got these pockets of deprivation. What I found in Whitehaven is we have a strange attraction of investment. It tends to be all around nuclear. And it's nuclear despite the people. So we get a lot of money, a lot of big companies who come and set up an office in Whitehaven and surrounding areas just to supply to Sellafield, but they forget completely about the people. As you correctly mentioned, it's quite difficult to get to Whitehaven. So it's physically and digitally really poorly connected. So that was another of my considerations for choosing it too. And I don't think that anywhere should be stigmatised. Back to my people-centric position in this, people are people. It was really highlighted quite well in the social mobility report that the government produced. There's a place not far away from Copeland Borough Council, which is the area that Whitehaven sits in, called Allerdale. And it doesn't benefit from Sellafield, and it doesn't benefit from the Sellafield pound as much. And on the social mobility table, they were almost at the bottom, meaning that life chances of people in that area were pretty, pretty low. When we went to Whitehaven or to Copeland, it was about halfway at the table, but it was completely influenced by Sellafield. So I think we don't just have the stigmatisation of being a slightly deprived area in some parts, but we also have the isolation that is caused by being serviced, if you like, by a large public sector, high-paying organisation, which is only open to the few and not to the many.
Mm. Yeah, it is. It is a bit of a. I mean, it provides, you know, so much employment that the region really depends on it, but it's sort of double-edged sword almost.
It's absolutely fantastic to have Sellafield. I'm very much in favour of Sellafield. Mm. And I think what we've got there is a chance where we could do more with more and extend the benefits of Sellafield to more people. They do a great job. They do a lot of work in the social impact world, but it's quite a vast spread out area at Whitehaven. And therefore, there are little pockets that don't quite get the benefit. So, no, I'm really in favour of Sellafield. They do some great things and they attract some great investment. What we need to do now is attract different kinds of investment, create different kinds of opportunities, think about everybody as an equal and put everybody on as level a playing field as we possibly can.
Well, let's talk about your project then, Andrea. So that's quite an exciting initiative called the Micro City Street Lab. So what is it about and how is Whitehaven going to benefit from this project?
Okay, I love my project. I've been working on it for 3.5 years, so I tend to oversimplify it and people don't understand it well. So I'll try and keep it in the relative terms. What I've done is I've taken the assets of Whitehaven, and the assets of Whitehaven are those that I've already mentioned, but adding to that, more importantly, the fact that it's a grid pattern. It was one of the first grid layouts. Well, it was the first grid town in Europe. And it is rumoured that New York was based on Whitehaven. So me, we've got a city in miniature. And what I also note about the UK is that almost every city claims to be smart. But when you dig a little bit deeper and ask, you know, what is smart really? And what do you mean by it? And what you tend to see is little tiny bits of smart innovations. So I'll give you an for example. Oxford Road in Manchester had a really great smart approach to traffic lights and to traffic management, but it was only in one road in a small area. I wanted to create somewhere where we could really create and make a truly smart place and mimic a city, but in miniature. So a size that is manageable, but actually acts like a city. So it's ironically, Whitehaven is just that. So we've got all the attributes. We've got a ring road around the... We are a city in miniature. And this is a place where academics can come and research and understand it, because everything will be connected. In its simplest form, what I've created is secure shared digital infrastructure, super fast digital infrastructure on the ground. This all goes live in September, by the way. And above it, I've created an orchestration platform so that everything connects to everything else in real time and we can do real live measuring. We can approach subjects like personal data, protection of personal data. I'm also looking at cybersecurity, particularly with the cyber corridor coming into play in the Northwest. And then our verticals are just absolutely endless. So I'm looking at energy, health and wellness, careers, agri-tech, aquatech. And it's an invitation. It's an invitation to businesses to come in and invest. So maybe it's invest at a low level and come and experiment in smart city. And my hope then through magnetism is to attract them to come and open diverse opportunities and businesses. So we can start to work with the children who are teenagers who are sat in their bedrooms playing on their computer screens, who have got fantastic talents that don't quite fit within whether it's traditional education or the traditional work path into the nuclear industry, give them an opportunity to come and stay in Whitehaven, because what we tend to find is we lose talented young people and they don't tend to come back, and then attract new in.
That's what we discussed in our last podcast as well, that the place is good when the talent stays, when there is a reason as well. But Whitehaven is such a specific example, isn't it? So it's a great city. I've not really seen any other great city in the UK. And I wonder, how transferable is your model then? So this sort of digital platform, the connectivity, so you're sort of almost sourcing data, live data from maybe the citizens' movement, I suppose how people are maybe using the city. So all this richness of data through this sort of digital connectivity platform in the grid model, is it going to be transferable to other places?
It's absolutely transferable. I chose Whitehaven and its grid for this project because there are quite a lot of cities around the world that are built in a grid pattern. Glasgow is a grid pattern, for example. London started as a grid pattern. It's not there now. I think it's quite much more than a grid. And New York definitely is a grid pattern. So, however, it doesn't mean that you have to be a grid to use my process. You don't even have to have the infrastructure if you're a small place. So I want to extend this to places as well as cities and little forgotten towns that maybe think, particularly coastal as well, that maybe think, we can't ever do that, we can't afford that, or we can't aspire to that. I've designed this such as we could actually take the platform anywhere.
So imagine if I was an entrepreneur then, and let's say my interest is in working with these young people, with the teenagers, and I want to create some sort of a provision, a service that would get these young people together. And I want to maybe co-create something for their local citizens through these young people. How would I sort of benefit from your support?
Well, what we are actually going to create as part of the platform is a backup and support team. We're almost going to create, we are creating digital real estate. So it's not metaverse, and my tech team will absolutely kill me for even mentioning the metaverse word, but it's not metaverse in the sense of sitting with a VR headset on. It's metaverse in its living, absolute, touchable, real way. So we're going to have a marketplace, and we're going to have this fabulous digital place where entrepreneurs will be able to enter at a really low rate. So we're lowering the barrier to entry and open a digital place. And we will have connections with all our residents and all our visitors in Whitehaven, because it's not only residents who I want to attract and bring in, it's visitors. I want to stimulate the visitor economy as well. So we've got some really exciting arts and culture things coming along. Yeah, it'll be really low entry barrier, but get to a widespread audience who are engaged and excited and inspired to be part of this great digital opportunity.
So it's almost like you're offering me a ready-made network for me as well. As an entrepreneur, I can maybe connect with some other like-minded, or I can become a part of a supply chain. I can understand the market much better. So this digital place in a physical place, that's quite fascinating.
It's really fascinating. And that's exactly, so you've understood. I explained it quite well. Yeah, that's exactly what we're doing. We want to create a community online, but I also want to extend it to physical as well, so that the place really benefits from it. But yeah, it's a completely different take on smart. And for me, there's one key element to this. It's the orchestration platform. I've used business process management software and thinking so that everything connects to anything in real time. I'll give you one quick example, and that is health. So one of the first projects that we're launching within this is health, and I want to see how we can link health to things like, for example, parking. One of the biggest issues in Whitehaven for residents and visitors is the perception that there isn't enough parking. Actually, there is. It's in the wrong places. That sounds a little bit like a Les Dawson piano sketch that there was on the television years ago. So what I intend to do with parking, I've got a digital parking operator working for me and a digital health company working with me. And we're going to connect to encourage people to walk more. So maybe show them where there's parking available, not exactly where they want to be, but then encourage them to park a little bit further away than they would normally want to, because it maybe gets your steps up 2,000 that day really easily. Then we're also going to link parking into vibrancy and dwell. One of the biggest issues that we've got in the town is that it's quite quiet at night. And the restaurants, in fact, now only open Thursday, Friday, Saturday night. So it's getting quieter. For me, that's an ever descending circle. And one of the issues that we've got is people have to pay to park, and they really don't like to pay to park. So I've devised a system, not yet put it into practice, but it will when we go live, where people can earn their parking automatically through their digital self and be encouraged to stay and be rewarded for dwelling by giving them offers and encouraging them to go into the different retail outlets that are in the town. So lots of ideas.
So there's really real data-driven innovation with that stuff, community needs in the centre of it. It's really fascinating.
Yes.
That's great. Well, when I think about our students and how we bring up stuff, entrepreneurs or educate entrepreneurs here, what do you think we should pass on to our students, you know, so that they are able maybe, you know, to think like you, be more creative? What can education give to the entrepreneurs of today?
I think education needs to give our entrepreneurs freedom. I'm a little bit of a rebel, and I struggle sometimes to be confined in an educational curriculum and mainstream education, although I did okay. I think education needs to give your students and entrepreneurs freedom and mix them with the right people. So encourage external entrepreneurs to come in and work with the students, or maybe the university could encourage workspace. Get entrepreneurs to come in and use some of your underused spaces for entrepreneurs to come in and be there and be alongside the students. What I found in Whitehaven, they've recently opened a new business centre, and it's to encourage entrepreneurship. And at first, I was a little bit sceptical about it, but the building's beautiful, so I wasn't sceptical about that at all. But I was concerned that we wouldn't get entrepreneurs coming in and using it, and it's been fantastic. And it's by creating the right space and the right place and the right atmosphere, we've now got entrepreneurs mixing with established businesses. We have students coming in. I've got students in this week. I had students from the UTC in a few weeks ago who were guests of one of the other businesses in there. And it's just mixing with the right people. And the other thing is belief as well, because there's plenty of people tell you that you can't do what you're doing. Mm. And so education needs to give your students freedom and belief.
Or maybe we should be inspired by your smart city model and think about a smart education, connecting people together. And like you said, you know, people working alongside each other instead of from the hierarchical position.
That'd be absolutely great.
Andrea, well, one last question. I'm sorry, we're coming to the end of the episode and there is loads we could talk about, but I'm always curious for all my guests, just to ask this, what's your place? Where do you feel placed and happy?
So my place is actually anywhere green. I know I'm talking smart cities, but I love green. I'm really interested in microbiomes, and that's a whole other subject. But I live in a forest in Ravenglass, and I'm at my happiest there. My lifelong goal is to be working and living in France because of the spread. So yeah, my happiness is happy places green, but also energy. I like the energy of places. Green.
That's a wonderful end as well, to think, you know, we can combine the digital, the tech, with the nature. You know, we can enhance these two worlds together, and we can be happy in both worlds. Like you radiate it, so you are very inspiring for us to think about how we can do that better.
Great.
Well, thank you so much, Andrea. Thank you for your time. It's been great having you with us. Thank you for inspiration, encouraging us to think digitally, collaboratively, and also nurturing the more experimental mindset, I think, in our endeavor to connect people, places, and products and services as well. So that's all for today, and I hope you enjoyed our debate. Feel free to drop us a message, comment, or recommendation of a resource, initiative, or idea for our project. And until next time, take care.